coming your way live from a top-secret location in Redondo Beach. You're listening to Aspel on the Esplanade on CHSR, HealthyLife.net Radio.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
But in the end...
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel, Aspel on the Esplanade, and I'm sitting here with South Bay J. Cruz.
Hey there.
Yeah, how you doing, brother?
Pretty good.
Good to see you for 10 minutes on Sunday.
Yeah.
I showed up to feed the kitty at HT Grill when I was leaving.
You know, somehow I didn't get the memo that they're starting earlier. I thought it was still a 4 to 7 window, so I was kind of lollygagging. You know where I was for a while? Walmart. I'm going, I can kill an hour here until 4 o'clock when they start, and I'll get there a little early, like quarter to 4. Then it turned out, you're leaving. I'm like, uh-oh.
They were, I'm wearing some bright pink shorts I got of the 80s right now.
Uh-huh.
I bought those for $8 at the Walmart.
At the Walmart.
On Auburn Boulevard, yeah. It was funny. People always tell me they didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
Said they have a website.
I know. I just...
So they kept doing that. How can you let... People are calling Pam and myself all the time. How can you let us know?
Yeah.
Is it not my job, man?
I'm not the manager.
Not my job for that stuff. No, but anyway, we went there, and turns out Jack got there an hour late. So he started late.
Yeah.
So we were only going to go for an hour and a half anyway.
Uh-huh.
So we were leaving. You were coming in. Sorry. But there were a lot of people there. It was all good.
I stayed for almost an hour. I talked to Jed earlier in the week and promised I'd make one of their shows.
Yeah, I can't... I can't do every effing show.
Oh, I understand.
I get bored.
Yeah, but he called and reached out, wanted to check up on me for some things I've been going through.
Okay, well,
really, kind of made me feel good. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're important.
Made me feel good, and I was I really appreciate that. And you know, I am feeling better than I have been the last. It's been a rough summer for me, just going through some stuff, and at least I'm kind of doing better. And now I can kind of go out and see bands again.
You go out and play your band. You can go out and listen to bands.
Yeah, it's been a
big weekend coming up. So,
what's happening this weekend?
Are you guys playing?
No. No, but we're going to start rehearsing. Our guy with the shoulder surgery, he's been through that. He's a couple weeks, almost a month recovered. So he's within a week or two of maybe being able to play again. And then we're going to start wrapping up the rehearse. And we probably won't have any shows booked till January, just because shows are booked out a couple months, but and it'll take us a little while to get up to speed and make a few changes, add some songs, because we're looking at our list. I like knowing the songs so I don't have to think about them, because they're in my I know them, they're in my heart, they're in my blood, they're I know how to. You'll hear the Jed and Jack the other day, they go, Jack goes, hey, what do you want to hear? And I'm like, I always request Road Less Traveled.
Right.
A, because it's an original. B, I love the song. It's one of my favorites by them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm like, let's hear one of yours. I like Johnny Cash, but I'd rather hear Feed the Kitty. And I just, that's always my go-to, because I don't want to, not have something ready. And then, they broke that out.
They do. Someday I'll have them play in my house again, and then I'll pay them extra.
Yeah.
Not to play any Johnny Cash. I wasn't even going to talk about this stuff, but they go to these things, the guy gives them an extra $50, they're going to play the hour of Bob Seger.
Yeah.
Barf. Hour of Johnny Cash. I don't want to hear this shit.
Right.
I go to the band.
Yeah.
I don't care, but anyway.
Because they got good songs. I'd rather hear
the
Kitty originals than,
They play a few, three or four songs that I really love, but they're, cover songs.
They do a great version of the Dire Straits.
They do.
They've made that their own.
My wife goes, not again. Well, we go to so many. Like this weekend, I'm on, working, I'm actually doing some work with a guy that owns Rockefeller.
Oh, okay.
Not on the bands, but he asked me, we're having the band come in at 4 to 7.
Uh-huh.
4 o'clock. So if you work, you have to get off work or just show up late. But 4 to 7, and not 6 to 9 at R10.
Yeah.
So last Friday, they play at Rockefeller,
right,
which is directly one building away from HT Grill in South Redondo.
Yeah.
On Catalina Avenue. And
there was a big space in the back.
Yeah, big space. Yeah, kind of a bootleg big space. But
I like it.
They... a lot of people show up.
Mm-hmm.
It was 4 o'clock. People are going to me going, well, how can they start at 4? I said, well, go talk to them.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of people were there. It was really great. So we didn't have to go. We didn't go to our tent.
Right, right.
So this weekend, they're playing there on Friday, so I'm in charge of getting a lot of people there.
Okay.
And anyway, it's then Saturday, they're playing at the Lighthouse.
Early, like 12 to 3.
That's the pet project. And then Saturday night, they're playing at Portofino, not the Baleen Kitchen, but the regular lobby bar.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea. It's 10 or 7 o'clock to 10 or something. Got my buddy Daryl coming in from Houston. So we're going to go over there and see him. But it's a... Now, they're playing big. And there's no gig on Sunday.
Okay.
So there you have it. Even though you could have checked the internet, because you're the computer wizard, I'm going to help you out.
I'm just addicted to my phone. I'm not a wizard. it's in my hand, you know.
My daughter's... Brett's in my office a lot at my house.
Yeah.
So I'm using my phone in my kitchen. And just back there, I made notes for today, as a matter of fact. And Pam goes, what are you doing on your phone? Our granddaughters are here.
Yeah.
I could be locked in my office doing some real work, but no, I can't. My daughter's using it right
mm-hmm.
now. So it's a, you know, phones, I think when people are sitting at a desktop computer, it looks like they're working.
Yes.
When people have a phone in their hand, listen, they're effing around.
On Facebook.
They might be doing their real job. Like Jed Motley does not have a computer.
Right.
He has his phone only.
And he does a lot of work.
A lot of young people, he's not young anymore, but a lot of young people, sorry, Jed. A lot of young people have only phones.
Yeah.
But I think people, you assume when someone's looking, hold two hands on one phone.
Yeah.
That they're effing around.
And yeah.
And if you can type a text with two thumbs or a couple fingers,
mm-hmm.
you've been on the phone too much.
Yeah.
I'm a one-thumber. That's all.
But I'm a double-thumb guy.
Do you do it too much?
You know, and I learned that. I was watching a football player on the old BlackBerry. And, like, because I used to do, you know, one hand, and then I saw him. He had a... And I go, I got to try that.
Yeah, okay. I'm not much of a hurry. I got my whole right hand, thumb.
That's the thing. I am in too much of a hurry. There's certain, like sometimes, you know, I have to do that for my bank information. Like I want to check my balance, make sure a payment went through, see how much check my banking. And that is the most sensitive type in information.
My wife does that.
And it frustrates me because... I'm like, bah. I mean, I go so slow because I'll go fast and I'll hit the wrong number.
Now, when you do your password to go into the bank or wherever, do you have it show you the password or you hide it?
I hide it. You know,
but you don't, see, my thumb's too big, so I think like 5 times sometimes. But Pam does all
mm-hmm.
any banking. I have no much money. I have no idea where money is. What it, if she drops dead, I'm probably screwed. But I have to go through every time you get out of something. You have to go to your password.
Right.
Now, my passwords are. I've always told they're too weak.
Uh huh.
If I store them on my phone, I store them on the phone anyway. But,
okay.
Yeah, I just I just know that from watching my son-in-laws.
Yeah.
Especially young males between they're under 33 or 30, whatever they are.
Right.
They're on their phone all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what they're doing? They're playing sports gambling. Or they're playing like golfing against each other.
Oh boy!
It's a live thing.
Yeah,
and they always have the phone in their hand. So if you're playing a game on your computer, your mm-hmm. laptop, no one knows you think you're working.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, I got involved. I used to remember last week I was here and told you I lost $20, but I should have won $1,400.
Right. The grand game.
Yeah. Would have, could have, should have.
Yeah.
Well, I bet $30 yesterday or Sunday.
Uh huh.
And I had a bunch of lousy-ass, horrible bets on parlays.
Okay.
Just the money line.
I tried a teaser that I thought was a lock. Everyone lost.
I took the Raiders over the Ravens.
Nice pick.
Minnesota over 49ers.
Good pick.
New Orleans over Dallas.
Nice pick.
And then Tampa over the Lions. I needed to, and I was sorting it out. Tampa... Like, with 30 seconds to go, they still could have lost the game.
I know. That was a tight one.
But I won $400.
Cool.
Yeah, so it wasn't quite as a stiff competition as last week.
Yeah.
But, boy, this gambling sucks. I don't want to lose $30, but if if what's his name goes through in Tampa, who's the quarterback?
Oh, Mayfield,
Baker Mayfield. If he does this, then I win $400. If he doesn't, I just lose 30.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. So finally, I can't do just bets. The Rams win or lose against Arizona.
Yeah.
Because you win or lose, you bet $20.
I lost that one. Thought the Rams would handle that game. That was bad.
I stayed so far away from that. Rams win. But
now they have no receivers. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua are both out for like 5 or 6 weeks.
It's their turn to be bad.
I thought they were going to do really well. In fact, actually put not a lot of money, but a little bit on their total wins. I thought they can get 8.5. Now I'm like, that's done.
Well, maybe, you never know. They were one play away from winning the first game against Detroit.
Then Arizona played good.
They stomped them.
They look good.
That's 5'3" quarterback.
I know.
Alligator
arms.
Yeah, the quarterback, he's a little, I don't know, whatever. They won.
Yeah.
See, you can't bet on your teams you like.
Right.
That's
why I didn't touch the Raiders.
Yeah, well.
I touch it and they win.
They were such huge underdogs.
That was a big one.
By parlay.
Yeah.
That's why I chose them.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of points.
I was going to win anyway. If I wouldn't have bet the Raiders, I would have won maybe $50 instead of $400. So but it was worth a try, and they won. And it was, at the end, this was the fourth quarter.
That was great.
But it's all good. I'm not getting into the sports online betting by my phone, but it's okay.
I do a little bit. I mean, I usually look in the morning or at some point, and I just see if there's anything good.
Yeah.
When it comes to football, I'll check like Tuesday morning just to see what the initial lines are. And sometimes I'll look and I go, there's no good games to pick. They're all too tough. I can't pick a side. I look at it and I go, I don't know who to choose. It's too close to call.
I don't really bet that much. I watched the game last night without betting.
I did at the last minute, and I was going to go, I don't trust either one of those teams. And then, and this is the thing with the online gambling is that it's so available that you might just, like me, I might just go, hey, I'm going to watch the game. It'd be more fun if I had a little bit of action on it.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit, not a lot, but... but if you watch Casino, Robert De Niro, he had the discipline or the character he was playing, which is based off a true professional.
Yeah.
And, those guys, they do a lot of study, a lot of homework. They know their stuff, but they also have a great amount of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Where instead of betting every single game that comes out, they pick one, whatever looks good, one or two, maybe this week five, maybe next week.
Picks everybody. You can't pick every game.
And sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, but that's a good way to lose your ass betting on every game.
Yeah, that's why I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I probably used to. Now, this online shit is all new to me.
Yeah.
And, I would go to Vegas once in a while and put something on a team for a game while I'm there, but I haven't jumped in the bandwagon yet about putting a lot of money on it.
Yeah, no.
Of course, I thought this morning, wow, I would have put 400 or 300 instead of 30. I'd have $46,000 or something.
Yeah, but that's, you do that and then you're like, that's when I win 3 out of 4, or 2 out of 3, or 1 out of 2.
But I vote. I bet on pros.
Yeah.
And the college students, most of them are pros.
I don't
bet on college.
I don't either. There's too much going on with the transfers and the NIL. The only bet I will make in a college game is I will sometimes take a total. I always go over because they have there's some good offenses and some bad defenses. Now that the Pac-12 is gone, they used to be easy because they don't play defense. They just play offense. It'd be like last year I took the over. Last year, I took the over in almost every Michigan Wolverine game and won like 9 out of 12 games or something. That was
pretty good. A gambler.
I wasn't betting much though, like $5 or less.
I just can't watch. Saturday is a college day. I don't care. I don't watch it.
I remember years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I was just I sat and watched every game, and at some point, in somewhere in October, November, I go, dude, you've spent 8 straight weekends ensconced on this couch. It's starting to get a groove in the middle because you don't get off.
Big old callus on your ass.
And I just go, you know what? College is just not for me anymore. I'll watch the occasional game if I can, but I'm not going to watch all of
I usually cheer against teams. I cheer against the team with the most annoying fans, for the people I know in Redondo Beach.
That's now, USC?
Pretty much.
I mean, and I was a USC fan until I moved to Southern California, yeah, and then that changed pretty quick.
Yeah, I go like, geez, I will cheer for anybody playing USC. But you can't post that on these social media. Posting your political choices.
I know.
But yeah, it's just so funny about football. I used to work at Safeway when I was a kid. I hated working on Sundays because I couldn't watch football.
Right.
I couldn't go riding my motorcycle, but I couldn't do anything on Sunday, but I had to work.
Yeah.
And I remember I had to miss a Super Bowl on TV.
Oh.
I was working.
Yeah.
And my goal was to get out of Safeway so I wouldn't have to watch. I could watch football on Sunday. Bad reason to get out. But
yeah, not really. I tried like the devil to get out working Sundays and so many jobs, you know, and then now that with the phones, like I just signed up for NFL Plus.
Yeah.
You know, where. And there's a few games, like whatever's locally televised, I can watch all of that. And then, like, I still haven't watched the Raider-Ravens game. I'll probably check that out tonight.
Just watch the last, you can just speed through.
Well, there's a condensed game option, okay. And it's like 45 minutes, the game's done. There's no, you don't even see the guys coming on and off the field. It's like snap, snap. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's why I watch Dodger games. They have 690, they do that.
And now I can literally watch every game within the week, and I try to get them done by Thursday. And, you know, at some point I won't watch them all, but yeah. I'll watch either I heard that was a good game, or I'll watch, you know, if the Raiders win, I'll watch that, or, you know, a couple of the better teams. And if I'm interested in you know, what's coming up on the weekend, I might be looking at a bet. I might check out a game.
Than me.
One of their, you know, it's like watching game film, but
yeah, I don't do that.
At the end of the day, you know, it's really the numbers and not so much the team that you're betting against. It's almost like a game of poker. I'm watching you because after three or four times, or any player, they'll have a tell. You know, some guy will get a good hand and he'll do something like he'll always fold his hands, but there's always something people will do. And you go, this guy, oh, he did that again, and he has a good hand, or he has a bad, you know. So you're reading the people. You know, with sports and football, you know, there's key numbers. You know, you avoid, you know, what they call the hook. That could be like, okay, the point, say you want to bet the Rams 49ers play this weekend. I don't know what the numbers are. Let's say the Niners are favored by 6.5. You go, yeah, they'll probably win by a touchdown, but that half point, the hook, that can come back to bite you. 3.5 is a tough. Any of those, like,
laying off to. Yeah, I don't. You know, I'm making a big deal out of betting. We bet so little. We're not really real gambling.
I know. I'm betting like $2, $3, $5.
Yeah, it's fine. I just bet.
I love parlays.
I just feel like it. I feel it. I don't do any research. I do nothing. That's why I'm probably down for the whole life. But
I do that too, and I win 2 out of 3.
Last
just
night, I fell asleep during the game.
I did too.
Didn't matter. So I mean, I want to watch these games, but you can bank on this. I've never watched a full game in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I walk out of the room, I do something.
Yeah.
Even the Super Bowl. In fact, I got to the point where I like the commercials better.
Mm-hmm.
But like last night, Pam goes, you were sleeping the whole third quarter.
Yeah.
And I was very comfy.
I think I was reading.
I watched the end. Well, I probably was reading. I fell asleep.
It's like reading, and I go, oh, yeah, the game's getting close. Maybe I should check this out.
Yeah, I don't care. So anyway, we won. I won. I shouldn't have told my wife. She wants, where's the money?
Yeah. But you're not putting up anything.
I get it. I know. She does. That's part of her job.
Yeah.
We're a team. Anyway, so what else? Let's go leave that football stuff.
Plenty of more to talk about during the year. We'll get
there. Taylor Swift.
What's going on with her?
I saw something on social media a little while ago. She was banned from going to any more Chiefs games.
Wow.
Because that's the owner of the whatever his name is.
The Hunt family.
Yeah, the Hunt. And anyways, I just checked it out before we started the show. It's fake.
Yeah.
But one of our friends, kind of some ladies that Pam grew up with, they posted these memes along with a bunch of millions of other people about Taylor's. Now she's a bitch of all bitches because she's supporting Trump.
Oh, I didn't know.
She came out and she endorsed him.
I didn't know that. But
and they're thinking there's all these Swifties are going to go vote for. They never voted in their life, but now they'll get registered and vote for Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they have this meme of her that she's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Flies in her private jet and pollutes the world. And she's never shopped for milk in her life.
Oh, boy.
And she's a bitch.
Now, I've heard completely the opposite.
Well, these are people who are just Trumpsters.
Yeah.
So then I commented on some lady we know, a friend of ours, a good friend of Pam's. I said, are you referring to Trump or to Taylor Swift? Because they do. They're both billionaires.
Uh-huh.
They both fly their own jets, and they don't shop.
Mm-hmm.
They pollute the world. And all of a sudden, her friends. I got like one lady did a meme of me sticking my head up my ass.
No.
Another lady did. She's flipping me off. These are people I supposedly knew or know
that you've talked to in real life
from Westchester, where I grew up. So I actually didn't respond too much. I said, "Well, I said to our Pam's friend, I'm not going to name her." I said, "Your friend, I didn't name her either, is a bitch."
Mm-hmm.
And she's very passionate about politics. I go, "So much for civil discourse."
Right.
I just said Taylor Swift did nothing wrong.
Right.
Now I get annoyed watching a football game when they pan on her more than they pan on the quarterback.
Right.
Even though Kansas City they won that game by default the other night. Go
something. Yeah.
Kind of thing. You don't ever mess with Patrick Mahomes.
No, he's the new Golden Boy. He's the new Brady.
Yeah,
well, he's the Golden Boy.
They have these people, these memes about Taylor Swift just because she endorsed Donald Trump.
I didn't even.
But the same people that probably went and saw her paid $5,000 this year.
Right.
And I go, well, she's pretty talented.
Yes.
And she's beautiful. And she's
got
a billionaire.
A lot of things going for her.
But she earned it.
Yeah.
I don't know if we earned that much money, but she earned it. No doubt about it.
Supply and demand, you know?
She's got it. Yeah, well, why does these football players make so much, or baseball?
But same thing.
They earn it. Supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
But if you are a Trump person, and that means you now officially hate Taylor Swift, so what you have to do on social media is send out shitty, blasphemous, horrible, condescending, racist, misogynistic memes.
But if she's a Trump supporter, why would not other Trump supporters?
No, she's a Kamala supporter.
Oh.
So the Trump people now think she's a bitch.
Okay.
So they would have thought she was the greatest human being ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah.
If she would have endorsed Trump.
Okay.
But it's left up to people now making up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to Facebook or Instagram or just look at just Google it.
Yeah.
You don't need to be on a special program like Facebook.
Right.
Just Google it, you'll see all these memes they're putting out.
I know.
And you think she was Hitler, and she, was a big slut. Whatever. You know what I'm trying
right,
to say.
Right.
But she, it's just Trump people.
You know, when I was growing up, which wasn't that long ago, although it actually was longer than I want to admit. There was a time in this country where you didn't tell people who you voted for. You kind of were able to keep that quiet. And, if you wanted to tell someone, you could. But now it's like we're not required to expose who we vote for. It's an option.
Oh.
I personally don't tell people who I'm voting for.
Well, you pretty much have on this radio show.
Yeah, I mean.
So
have
I.
Yeah.
I don't talk about it. I don't go on Facebook, dude. I don't go on social media.
I have done no political stuff since maybe the Bush administration, because people were jumping on you back then.
Yeah.
And then when Obama came in, that took it to a new level.
That's really bad now, because everybody's got a phone. They're always people are always on their phone.
Yep, and they're goofing off and going on social media and not doing real work as we started the show.
they're making fun of Taylor Swift because she's the billionaire in favor of...
I saw a meme about the Chiefs that they said the Chiefs are 12-3 in games that she has attended.
Yeah.
So if I was Mr. Hunt, the CEO and owner of the Chiefs, I'd make sure she had access to the game, straight on in.
She didn't need free tickets.
And Travis, I'm sure, would hook her up.
Yeah.
So I mean, but I don't have a problem with her going to games, or I don't really mind if they show her, from time to time. It's like, it's like 3 seconds out of the entire game. I'd rather look at Taylor and maybe one of her cute friends having a celebration than, fat guy spitting up Gatorade on the sidelines,
Two Raider fans fighting two Charger fans.
I don't need to see that. I'd rather see someone having a good time.
Right. But, yeah, but these Most people are on social media.
Yeah, yeah.
They deny it. But they'll look. If you just go on Google, you're on social media.
Yeah.
You type in any name you want, you're going to find everything you want to find out about somebody in 30 seconds.
Pretty much.
Or 1 second. It'll pop up. Then you got to pick it up.
Yeah.
But I'm loving the other memes that are going out there. What is the word meme? Who invented that word? Where did it come from? And what is a meme mean?
I don't know, but I knew I was old when my nephew had to tell me how to pronounce it. And I was like, it was a meme? That's what I first called it. I was talking to my sister. I saw this meme, and he goes, you mean a meme?
Yeah, I told my daughter. So, yes, I saw a sarcastic post about one of these people. She went, you mean a meme?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways,
I have I have no idea where that came from.
My most fun ones now are Eat My Pet.
Yeah, there's a lot of creative ones going there.
Yeah, they're really good. If you haven't, you know, Facebook or Instagram, look it out. But even my sister-in-law, who makes Donald Trump look liberal, she sends Pam a meme about with a couple of dogs in a pot of water on a stove, and that everybody, no matter what side you're on, it's great photos.
Yeah,
but it's been debunked, the whole thing. But I have people that I respect, and if I used to, but they insist they're going after me. It is a fact. It's a fact.
Yeah.
They showed me a video of one guy at a city council meeting in Springfield, and I want to go. I've sat on the other side of that.
Yeah, party. Yeah, you have.
So this is all BS,
right?
The guys go, well, I go to Walmart, and
I just went for the first time this week.
Yeah, you go to Walmart, and these Haitians are in there opening up the peanut butter and eating it, and opening up the tomatoes and eating them. And I'm going, I look at this guy, and I know. He's following these people around.
Yeah.
Because they don't look like him.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But why is he following them around? And he goes and reports them. I remember when the Vietnamese boat people.
Oh, yeah.
In the 70s came over. The world thought, everybody thought the world's come to an end.
Right.
I don't even know if I wasn't very political then. I don't even know what I thought. But they were accusing the Vietnamese of eating the dogs and cats
right.
in Westminster.
Yeah. Yeah, up in San Jose, too.
Yeah, well, and I remember my friend lives in, one of my best friends lives in Madera.
Yes.
And the almond farmer, and they have all the Hmongs with their Cambodian Hmongs. And I was at a restaurant with him one night. He's saying, pointing out, they're opening up the little padded butter pats in the foil and licking it out of there. I go, nobody's told them not to.
Right.
Where they're from, they probably do it every day, but, you know, I said, don't judge them. I wasn't very tickled by the whole thing. I said, that doesn't make them bad people.
Yeah.
But in Westminster and wherever, Tustin or Santa Ana, one rogue guy may have ate a dog.
Yeah.
But that is a leash law for a reason. Your dog should have been in your yard. But anyway, they make the sound like the whole world's going to come to an end. So one guy might have ate a dog in Springfield.
How many Springfields are there in the U.S.?
Well,
did they name a specific Springfield?
Springfield, Illinois, I believe.
Because there's like 17 Springfields.
I bet there is. Like, you know, every city's got a church street, a main street, and a cross street.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, people are freaking out. They're making shit up now.
Yes, they are.
And I want to go on social media. I wish I would have got a picture. But like 15 years ago when I was in China, a couple of us, we were escorted the whole time.
Yeah.
I was there for a few weeks. And we got out of our suits and ties and kind of went on the side door. Greg Hill, the former mayor, Redondo, him and I went for a walk. The old part of town. And I pointed out they were selling puppies.
Yes.
I told you the story
before. Not to take home as a pet.
Well, they were take home. They were take out.
They were take home.
They gave the point. I go, they're selling puppies. And Greg goes, oh, you got to get out of here. So let's watch. A little kid, like 8 years old, points out a puppy. The guy picks it up in 3 seconds, guts it, skins it, and skewers it.
Yep.
And dips it into the and takes the guts out, but then dips it into the hot oil. And 2 minutes later, the kid stepped walking away like he's eating a dreamsicle.
Dog on a stick.
That's a hot dog on a stick. That's right. They're going, that's perfectly normal there.
some countries only have so many options when it comes to food. Well, here in America, we have so many options, we waste a lot of food.
Yeah, we're pussies.
The rest of the world might have better choices than dogs and cats and insects and crickets. Well, that's the new move coming in, is insects.
I've eaten insects. I've eaten Mopani worms, which are caterpillars.
Okay.
Caterpillars in tomato sauce. That was in South Africa. I've eaten dog, monkey, cat, chicken feet. My favorite, I was in China. They even put it on the menu. But my favorite thing of weirdness was we were in China. You sit big round tables. And they have lazy Susans and have these food. And everybody's chain smoking and we're all drinking. So anyway, the salad came out. It was really good.
Salad.
It's tomatoes, lettuce, pine nuts.
Okay.
Oh, the pine nuts were so good. They were deep fried maggots.
A little butter and garlic. Yeah, you wouldn't know the difference.
I'm almost done. They're sitting in the oil. The Bible. Whoa, it's got legs.
Someone starts walking.
He goes, "Well, he's dead." But go. But you know, if you're there, you got to eat it.
Yeah.
And it was fine. It was really good. But I didn't get sick. But you know,
That makes more people sick. Going, you're eating dog, and then you like flip out. Going, you know, if I just ate it, maybe I'd have a reaction, but maybe I wouldn't.
I had to eat it because they were looking at me.
Yeah.
I didn't like have a whole steak, dog steak.
Right.
But it's funny, we criticize people for eating dog and cat, but if you saw what's in a hot dog.
Yeah.
I know friends of mine who are meat cutters. I've taken a couple of tours of meat cutting plants.
I know meat cutters who are vegetarians.
The plants in the city of Vernon. Dodger dogs.
Say no more. City of Vernon.
We just squished all that dog.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think it's the same way in the United States.
Yeah.
But in China or the rest of the world, if it walks, if it shits, it crawls or flies, they eat it and they eat every part.
Yep.
We are offended by certain parts.
Yeah.
No one eats a turkey back.
Yeah.
Throw it away. Or a chicken. No one eats some of these parts. If you're in China, and if they would have Thanksgiving turkey, which they don't have, obviously, in China, but after they're done with it, it looked like it was in a lake full of piranha.
Yeah.
But they eat...
eat the gizzards, the liver, and the heart.
The trouble with duck tongue, they taste good. But you got to eat a lot to fill you up. You got to kill like 500 ducks just to make lunch.
And Peking duck is another delicacy. They just sort of skin the skin. They kind of.
Yeah.
I had that like the first night I was in Hong Kong. We went to a place. Associate of my dad took us out. We went to the. We're having Peking duck. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, why are we only eating the skin? Well, what about the meat? And that wasn't on the menu, just the skin.
Peking duck sits out for a while too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like fresh frozen stuff.
No.
But we are the most judgmental, weird bunch of people. Our country I love it obviously, but we're a small country compared to the rest of the world.
Right.
But we think if people don't live by our standards, they're pagans and they're going to kill our children.
Going to hell.
But anyway, back to Donald Trump and the dogs and cats and. I know from running for mayor and council and dealing with these assholes the last time I ran, they take the page straight out of the Trump thing.
Yeah, yeah.
If you say the lie long enough and enough times, it turns into the truth.
People believe it.
And I had some people the other day talking about the Esplanade, or no, the pier.
Right.
That joined this little group chat. And someone said, well, it would have been done if it wasn't for Aspel and his goons. So I commented, they were shocked.
Yeah.
I said, I wish I was important enough to have goons. And the guy was talking about, well, you wanted this pier. And I know that growing up on this corner of Juanita and Torrance Boulevard, I'd get up every Saturday morning and watch these pickup trucks full of inner city people come down to our pier and destroy it. And I should have taken a screenshot because he took it down. Somebody got to him. I said, that's the reason we're all effed up over here. Because nobody wants those people here.
Right.
And, it's funny. I know who this is, but I'm not going to answer it. The interesting thing is, change of subject, my three trash cans I have.
Yeah.
I've kind of destroyed them. I use them as the whole thing's in paint.
Mm-hmm.
They're all multicolored. He's a trash guy. Goes, I don't know which one's green.
I like that. You kind of throw a little wrench back
on
there.
It's a little dead looking. So, I call my friend, who's one of the people in at the trash company.
Yeah.
I said, I need some trash cans.
Uh-huh.
So I promise you I will not destroy these. But the one, the green one today, with the grass, just for it cracked.
Oh.
All this stuff's everywhere. You know, 2-week-old grass is not good.
No.
It smells horrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's who's calling me back. I'm not going to return his call. anyway, yeah, this. But I'm loving, if you guys think the people in Springfield are eating dogs and cats and women and children, whatever, just you believe anything in the world.
Yeah, really.
Maybe one guy.
Right.
When I walked down to a pond and grabbed a goose or something, but.
Geese are good eating.
Yeah, they are. But people move here, and we don't tell them the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the beach and you see a bunch of. There's one section in Redondo where, I mean, when I was still in office, I asked the Public Works Department to send somebody down. There's one section where everybody who's there is from El Salvador, and there's trash everywhere, and. The guy was bitching about him. I said, can we go ask him? Tell him, here's the trash cans. Where they're from, they don't have trash cans.
Wow.
There's no public works department in San Salvador.
Right.
I've been there.
Yeah.
And it's a shithole. But the, just go mention to him, and about 2 weeks later, there was very little trash.
Okay.
They weren't pissed off. This guy went down, it was nice to him.
Yeah.
And said, just can you use the trash cans because we want to keep the beach nice for you next return.
Right. And which is a great way to handle it.
And they did. Yeah. You weren't giving citations.
Yeah.
You weren't going on sitting there.
Yeah, the old, you'll catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
That's true. Thing. Yeah, that's true. Sometimes I want to throw vinegar on people. A little bit. Kerosene is better.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I don't need a break. We can keep whatever you say. So what? We're still going. What is... Change the subject back to music and social media.
Mm-hmm.
What is the band called? Jane's Addiction. Why was this a big deal? And why would a guy like me actually give a damn?
Well, the last question is the most intriguing, considering you saw one of the members of Jane's Addiction, the guy who was assaulted by a singer this past weekend with Taylor Hawkins. At the time, Feed the Kitty opened for them at the Troubadour Whiskey, one of those shows, when they...
what's his name?
The Foo Fighters drummer, Taylor Hawkins.
Right, I know that.
He and I think the bass player from Jane's Addiction, because, you know, you got to get a bass player.
Navarro?
And Navarro, the guitarist. So it was Navarro, Taylor Hawkins, and a bass player. Three-piece band. Taylor sang a lot.
I know who the guy playing with the Taylor was from Jane's
Addiction. Guitar player Dave Navarro. Yeah, they did a little side project.
Okay.
So
that's the guy.
And the reason everyone's talking about it is the singer just went. He went off. He apparently. Well, there's a few things going on. Number one, the singer still kind of drinks, and the rest of the band. Maybe doesn't. Like Dave especially is clean and sober now. Also, when Taylor Hawkins died, and I just recently read this in an interview with Dave Navarro, he literally got depressed because of that and didn't touch his guitar for about a year.
Wow.
He just had no interest in playing music, playing guitar. He'd sort of lost a lot of zest, and he came through that. Wow. And, you know, he started replaying again, listening to some different bands. He also had long COVID, and Jane's Addiction got back together, and he was like, I can't tour. I got this long COVID. It's going to be a while until I can even get out on the road. So they did a little tour with a substitute guitar player, and then he became healthy, and they go, let's do a reunion. There's, you know, big piles of money for this band because, you know, they've been apart for a while.
Gotcha,
and
yeah.
This and that. Supposedly there was some new music in the works. They were going to record a new album that may or may not still come out. And they've just been on tour for a little while. And then bottom line, apparently the singer felt that the stage levels or the band was playing too loud and he was getting a sore throat from trying to sing over that. Now, instead of talking to the sound guy, middle of the set or towards the end of about three quarters through the set, and you see the video. He's singing. He's kind of agitated. He goes over to guitarist Dave Navarro. He takes a swing at him. He literally, he's in yelling at him, and then he...
Were drugs involved?
With the singer is a possibility. He's still dabbling in what he does. Well, Dave is sober and has been for a long time. And anyway, so he comes over, starts yelling at Dave, who's, you know, he's in guitar solo mode. He's not thinking of what else is going on necessarily. He's doing his thing, and then the singer pushes him and takes a swing at him. And then, you know, Dave, the guitarist, is like, what? You can see him. What the F? You know, he mouths it.
Right.
And then security comes in, grabs Perry, the singer, and then the bass player actually came in. And there might have been some things going on. This could have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
the first.
Because it just doesn't like, oh, you're too loud. Boom. You know. And then the bass player had him in a headlock. And then, you know.
So how many people will be at this concert?
It was sold out. It was a pretty packed show.
It was sold out of HT Grill. It was sold out of SoFi.
Probably like the Warfield, the Wiltern. That's about a theater size venue.
Gotcha.
You know, a couple thousand. And, you know, so the next day, social media is like, you know, and then, you know, Dave Navarro may have quit the band officially. They've canceled the rest of the tour. They obviously canceled Sunday Night Show, which is in Bridgeport, Connecticut, because they did New York, then they did Boston, and that's where the shit hit the fan.
Well, now I know. So I've seen the guy before. I didn't know. Who are these people? Now I don't pay attention.
But I saw you on your sister. She said something. You go, who's Jane's Addiction? And I was like, oh, boy. You saw him at the Jimmy show, and I thought maybe you knew that and were kind of just kidding. But
no, I had no idea.
Yeah. And
I don't pay attention because I left early. I didn't care for him.
Yeah. But looking back, I would have been
What's alt-rock? It was loud.
Yeah. It just wasn't, you know, mainstream corporate rock. But Jane's Addiction's a band that came up. I was playing them in college. They were an underground band doing new things. And quite honestly, them and Guns N' Roses were a couple of the most influential bands of the 80s. Maybe, I mean, musically, yes, but also tattoos. They were bands that had tattooed members, and it wasn't quite so popular at that point. And then it became more popular, and then you started seeing more people with tattoos and piercings.
Every time I show up to see you, you got one more tattoo.
Not yet.
Yeah,
I passed last Friday. It was Friday the 13th, when normally you can get them really cheap, and I didn't go. I was dealing with the new car issue.
I love you. It's real cheap. $500, but it's real cheap.
No, Friday the 13th again for like $31.
Well, that's
but they're like little teeny. That's why I've got like little teeny ones.
Yeah, I'm not. See, I don't. I just.
I know.
And with my addictive personality, if I had one, I'd probably get 20.
Here I am. That's what happened to me. I started with one just to get one, and now
I was here before. You had one little bitty. Now you look like you're riding the hell. Anyway, it's fine. But. Yeah, see, I don't have any big guns. I put them on my elbow, but on my bicep, but only big biceps.
Right.
I love it when people with Asian symbols on it. It probably says F you, but they don't know it.
That means
or the, or the little like a Hawaiian reed around their arm. That there's a thing on TV the other day about the couple lives in the nudist colony.
Oh boy!
It was in Redlands or Aberdeen.
Yeah,
they found him dead. The neighbor killed him.
Neighbor,
but they were like in their 80s.
Sure.
And all the neighbors are in their 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nudist colony out in San Bernardino.
Well, it's hot out there.
It's hot. Yeah, well, it's cold too. But anyway, they're going. The lady on TV going, well, I hope they find them. I miss them. They're our best friends. And she's about 80 something and severely overweight.
Mm-hmm.
Those tattoos were horrid. So, young ladies, especially you young ladies, because you're going to be a basket case, Jay, anyway, but you could, that when you're old, they'll be all discolored. That's all fine. But they put these things on their body, and when they're old, they look, I can't tell you, they're repulsive.
Yeah.
But the women, they put them up there in their neck and stuff. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my stepson's got them everywhere.
Yeah.
He's like really a, you bet him, handsome guy. You go, why did you do that to your head? Whatever. So, but it cracks me up. I would.
Yeah, that's a line I'm not going to cross. No neck, no head, no hands.
Yeah.
And that's old school. I mean, a friend of mine who was an artist, you know, she said that, you know, the old school artists won't do their hands, necks, or, you know, face because, you know, bottom line, what if you got to go to court someday? You can wear a suit, you can wear a long sleeve dress shirt, and you hide everything. And, you know, the judge doesn't sit there judging you because that's his job.
Your head, your neck, your face. Who's that? Okay. So we're in tattoos. Who's
Post Malone?
That's him.
Yeah.
All the face?
All a lot of them.
His face is covered.
Yes, it is.
What song does he sing that I might know?
I'm not sure. He did a duet with Ozzy Osbourne.
Well, that doesn't help me at all.
But, like, I couldn't name a song. I've heard him do other people's songs. Like, one time he did a thing with some other musicians. Country Western rap.
My daughter likes
yeah.
him.
Yeah, no, he's very popular and in you know, that the younger crowd. And then who is it that also
you're listening? Go look up Post Malone.
And who is it that's Lauren? Lauren, who comes Karsten's wife. She's a big fan.
Oh, really?
I just remember, like, he played last summer, and she was like, "Oh, I just got back from Colorado, Post Malone." I go, "What are you doing there?" "Oh, Post Malone. I'm a big fan of Posty." So that's what it's like. Swifty, he's Posty.
That's funny because I obviously one of my favorite was always been Jerry Garcia.
Yeah,
not the prototypical rock star look, you know, overweight junkie, and his voice is reed thin. He couldn't sing with a lick, but he'd never go down with the top 10 guitarists in the world. He's got his own little style.
He's got his own unique style.
Yeah, well, crack up going. Why do I like him, but I can't like a guy like Post Malone? I don't know. I'm too old.
It has a lot to do with it. You know, you just grew up in the era you did. Yeah. I try to pay attention, but like I just can't keep up with it anymore. I got too many other just things I enjoy. I mean, if I hear a good song by somebody, I'll be like, "Oh, that was cool. Who was that?" "Oh, it's Post Malone." Okay.
I probably heard his songs. Now, I saw a big sign on the way up here. There's a stagecoach or wherever.
Uh-huh.
Who is Jelly Roll?
He's a guy who sort of looks like Post Malone. He's bigger. He's a little heavier. He's had some Jelly Rolls in the day.
Yeah. And I
would guess he's
tattoos
probably...
tattoos on his nose and all
that. He's got tattoos everywhere. Face.
Does he have a song I would know?
I don't know him either, but I've heard him, and I know he just played the Forum recently. And I've been hearing him, but, you know, there's a lot of new musicians like those two who... you know, they have the look as far as, like, you know, tats everywhere that, you know, the younger kids are also into. And then there's this hybrid of, like, rap and country music that I just don't get. I admit it, you know. I'm a rock and roll guy. I did listen to some 80s and 90s rap because my college radio station, we were allowed to play that stuff. And it was kind of more interesting than the punk rock. They still had attitude. And I was, you know, I like Snoop Dogg, and there's some good production out of that.
Yeah, good.
You know, Dr. Dre really is a musical producer. He's a heck of a bass player. But, you know, but that was also because there was a lot of 90s music I didn't enjoy. And that was some of the coolest stuff. And we're playing a lot of my radio station I was just tired of, or I didn't like some of the new stuff. And I listened to a lot of... You know, MTV was still happening, and they had some really good rap video shows.
I
I've always liked R&B and soul. I love James Brown.
I like 80s, but some of the real, a lot of the stuff in the 80s was all high tech.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Not into that.
No, me either.
Looking at my,
but, you know,
my
guys
Spotify.
Guys like Prince came out of the 80s, and, you know, he was pretty much a talented dude.
Well, who's playing next week or so? We're not going to the concert. Modern English.
Oh,
I Melt the World and Stop With You.
Yeah.
Start, you know, start, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's our second wedding song. And every time we go, every effing time, Feed the Kitties there, they'll play that song.
They played it when I got there when you guys were trying to go home.
Yeah.
Like, we got to play their song.
Yeah. We usually dance. We didn't dance for that one. That's the only song we'll dance to, and one other song for Pam. But
yeah. And then
the Grateful Dead, we play, yeah. But we anyway, going, they're playing. Modern English is playing at St. Rock in a couple of weeks.
Right,
$35 to get in.
$35, I'm not spending.
And plus a couple cocktails you got to have, and it's all standing.
I think it's a 2-drink minimum.
Yeah, and then you gotta.
It's cashless too, so you gotta bring your credit card.
That's right, and then you gotta wait. They say you start at 8:00. I'm sure there's an opening.
They won't go until 10:00.
And then the song that the one song
I won't
song,
play that till the very end.
The
if
one
the
song
right.
I want to hear is that. And I've seen these guys on YouTube. They look like me now. They're not my little young English band. But
yeah,
they're
in their 60s because they were happening in 20 40 years ago.
So they're good.
Yeah,
their guitar player looks like Post Malone. Anyway, Pam, would you want to go? I said, Pam, you want to go? She went, no. I go, she, I go, we can see if they would call us, let us in for the one song. We go. But turns out Feed the Kitty's playing that same night.
Oh.
So I'm going to go see Feed the Kitty and make sure they play it. It's not the same without drums. You got to have the drums.
Right, right.
Anyway, but yeah, so we're not going to go spend. It's not even the money. It's just the time.
Yeah.
Sit there for 4 hours.
Stay up till 11 o'clock to hear a song that your friend's band plays every time you go.
Yes, I know. You know, you got to stay up till 11 o'clock.
I know.
Well, like this Sunday, my daughter and her husband, Justice and Brett, are going to go to a concert.
Uh-huh.
I forgot which one it was. Anyway, they want us to babysit Kenny. They want us to do it at their house.
Okay.
So, because they're going to be home late, so we can come home. And I said, no. She's never slept over at our house. You guys can deal with it.
Yeah.
You've never been a partner. I said, bring her over to our house. You go to your concert. And if you're coming over tomorrow on Monday anyway to your work, so we'll take care of her.
We'll
have a sleepover.
Yeah.
She's freaking out. I go, I don't want to be at your house till 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
Be at my house.
Yeah.
And I don't know what band they're going to go see, but we have the baby next week. But they went and saw. They went and saw the other goofy band from Northern California. The Color. Give me Color.
Red.
Green Day.
Green Day. Okay.
It was their fifth anniversary, so he surprised you with Green Day.
All right.
The opening act was Smashing Pumpkins, so that's '80s bands, right?
Wow, I think that should be the other way around, but.
Well, they're both kind of washed up. I think. But
I like Pumpkins better.
'80s music. I had. My thing, how about My Sharona? Love Shack, You Might Think the Cars, you know, Brown Eyed Girl. Anyway, there's a lot of fun songs.
Mm-hmm.
How about Bad Case of Loving You by Robert Palmer.
Yeah.
But, I've downloaded like 180 songs on my Spotify.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are pretty good. I actually, it really cracks me up. It was good music. They all one hit. Most of them are one hit wonders.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't just like any music. It's just sometimes I don't like it as much as I like what I like.
Yeah.
So that's why people go, how come you don't go see other bands besides Feed the Kitty or Pet Project?
Right.
We talk about this. I don't have time.
Yeah.
And the inclination. It's just plus every time you. I said, why should I go out and spend a couple $100 every time I go out? I've got to give them a big tip. I've got to do this, got to do that. And I don't like the food at half these places. So, anyway.
And that's kind of what I've been going through this summer. You know, I'm kind of on the wagon, so that's one thing I won't do at a show. You know, so that's already the bar is like, well, you're not really much of a help. And then I'm like, I got a little, stomach issues, so I don't eat a lot of bar food. And they're like, well, that's our two big things. We're making a lot of money off ice water.
You showed up at HT, no one cared.
No.
It was kind of funny. I have had this conversation with Paul, but you look around these people, there's a lot of Arco Mini Mart cups.
Oh.
And, it's outdoors.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to ask him, are you making money at this stuff? Because certainly half the people are bringing their own stuff in. The women, they go in a bar, they have these little pocketbooks, handbags, little pocketbooks. They're outside, they have a carry-on for a jet to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
They got it loaded up full of all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And
now they got those little, drink in a small little...
They bring everything because they don't want to pay the... Because it is expensive to go out drinking.
Sure. That's how, people like Paul can afford to live the lifestyle that he's...
It gets really expensive, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially,
it's like minimum $10 to $15 a pop, no matter what you're getting.
Well, I told you last week, it's like $8.75 for a 6-ounce beer.
Yeah. And a 6-ounce, that's half a beer. 12-ounce.
A little can.
You know, and like, I used to traditionally get the 16-ouncers.
Well, if you go inside, you can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways... Anyway, but it's just change the subject. I get in trouble. What else? I'm out of notes. Actually, a lot of the day I thought I was going to make it here today.
Yeah,
because we had kids, grandkids at the house. This is a good time to leave. So this weekend, anyway. If you're free, go to. I'm looking forward mostly to the Rockefeller on 4 o'clock on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Come on down. It's okay. There's no minimum. No nothing. And then the lighthouse at noon.
That I'm going to try to make.
No minimum, no nothing. It's all good.
Supposed to go hang out with a friend of mine on Saturday afternoon, but I can come see Pet Project and leave at 2:33 and get to my friend's house, and then we'll do what we're going to do. I won't make Rockefeller. We're going to have band practice.
There you go. Back to the swing of things.
Yeah, with our guitarist with the Tommy John surgery or shoulder rotator cuff surgery.
Well, how long ago was his rotator cuff?
He got he's been dealing with it for a long time. He got the surgery in August, and that was after they gave him a date that was, 3 months into the future. And then they canceled, and then he had to come in the next week.
But since his operation, how long is he?
I think he's still about 6 weeks, 3 to 6 weeks. And he said himself about 2 weeks ago they should be probably ready maybe this weekend.
Because my doctor said I'd be in a sling for 2 weeks.
Hmm.
But he gave me a cortisone shot 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to do it because the cortisone shot works.
Yeah.
But my wife says, the funeral yesterday, wearing a suit and tie again for Pam's aunt, 102 years old.
Oh, I saw the photo.
Nice lady, wonderful lady. She's 102, so I have a hard time. She lived a wonderful life.
That's a celebration of life.
We didn't go to the celebration. We went to the mass and the burial, and they wanted us to go to Balboa Island for the party.
In Newport.
Yeah. I said, nope, we were already in Huntington Beach. We came home.
Okay.
And I wore a suit again, second time in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I told my wife that I'm sure if you were a betting person, the chances of me predeceasing you are pretty strong.
Right.
If you have a rosary and a mass, I will haunt you for I don't want to put my friends through any of that torture.
You can
testing. Torture.
Take me out to the ocean and drop me off.
Drop me in. I go, you do a rosary? You been a Catholic rosary?
I have been to one, yeah. I'm not Catholic, but 50, I've been to some, yeah.
49, 48, 47. No one, unless, trust me, if you say you're actually doing the rosary and for the real, you're lying. You're counting backwards how many more you have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous. And the drive to the cemetery took an hour.
Ooh.
Now, I looked at my MapQuest. I could have scooted over and got there in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
They took us on a scenic route. And then by the time we got there, half the other cars had scooted into our lines. They wanted to cut the red lights.
Oh, man.
It was fine, but get there going. And it's nice and warm out there. It's in Huntington Beach.
Uh-huh.
I'm wearing a black suit. And my granddaughter, before we left, she saw me wearing a tie.
Yeah.
And she looked at my tie and she went, what's that? Because apparently my son-in-law never wears ties.
You know?
It's just like, oh.
I get that. As my cousin Richard, he, it's been a while, but at least 10 years ago, he died. He, it's a lot of addictions on my dad's side of the family, most with alcohol and smoking. But Richard, was addicted to overeating. And one day my uncle gave me a call. He's like, yeah, Richard's in the hospital and he might need a bone marrow transplant. Since you're family, you might be a candidate to see if... And he's like, you might want to go see him because I don't know how much longer he's really going to be around. I'm like, okay, Uncle Bill, I'll go do that. So I went to see my cousin. He's in the hospital and it turned out he was going to get a gastric bypass, but they determined he wouldn't survive
that. Yeah.
So his funeral happened, and he lived out in the Inland Empire, Riverside, somewhere, where that's where they have the service. So I go out there. I'm wearing a suit because it's a funeral. It was Riverside. I was way overdressed. And then again, I go, and this is my family. I go, I'm super overdressed because ain't no one wearing, I don't even think half the people had pants.
But you weren't that guy.
No, I showed up with a freaking suit. Frickin' tie, frickin' slacks. I was a class act.
How big was the guy how big was his coffin, though?
He was pretty big. He was over 500 pounds.
Holy shit.
He ate himself to just a size that was unhealthy.
Oh, well. Something's going to kill us.
You know?
Food, booze, drugs, who knows?
That's what I'm starting to.
So you can be like that. What's the guy from Friends? He dies of OD, and they're blaming 500 people.
Right.
He's just a junkie. So we're a positive, healthy life, positive radio.
We are,
so it's time to get out of here.
Yeah, on that happy note.
Live life the way you want to.
That's right.
And have fun.
Something's going to get you. Enjoy the ride.
See you next week.
See you next week.
But in the end, there's just no place like home.